Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast in the midst of house renovations and Naima's birthday. Happy birthday, Naima.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
How you feeling?
I'm trying to get in the birthday spirit. I'm getting there. The social media has
today is your actual birthday.
Today is my actual birthday. Tonight is Boogie Oki. But it's been a very busy couple of months for me, so I haven't really had time to like take a break and think about the fact that like it's my birthday. And I'm usually very reflective on my birthday, but I'm sure I'll get into the spirit tonight.
And besides Boogie Oki, what else you got going on for your birthday? Anything else special?
No, not really. I mean, because my birthday is also on Easter week this week, so
Yeah. And it's a Tuesday, so it's kind of that off day. What are you doing for Easter? You going to church? Wait, hold on. So you have told about minutes. Do you still do the cotillion thing? Do you still sing in the choir?
We gotta give a church update.
Church update.
I do not sing in the choir anymore.
Did you officially leave, or did you just stop showing up to practice? like the black way.
That's how black. You know black folks don't leave. We leave the choir when we ain't coming to rehearsal no more.
I ain't seen Kathy in rehearsal about 3 weeks. Somebody check on her.
That's exactly it too. They knew I was leaving. I took a leave of absence when I want to say when I started working with John, just because I was traveling so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It was
really hard. But I haven't been back. But my choir director will text people and call people, because the young adult choir has the most turnover, because people get burnt out. We take breaks. Life stuff happens.
And you got life, whenever. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So he's used to having to chase us down. And I've been considering going back, but I'm so out of the habit. Like that 8 a.m. service joint, if I could just sing at 11, that'd be beautiful. But having
and the practices too, you got to do that.
Yeah, and they rehearse on Friday nights. But that whole, really the real reason I'm not going back is the whole thing of having to get up at like 6:30 to be at church by 7:30 to sing at 8. I can't.
Yeah,
I can't. I don't. I mean, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, but I just don't. I ain't got that in me right now. But I'm praying on it. The cotillion was last year. So yes, I'm still doing a cotillion. So it'll be again next year. So I'm still doing that, mainly because there's nobody else who will do it. Like me and my co-chair will do it.
So what part of the year is it in? I thought it was like in the spring, summer.
It is, but it's usually in May. So it was last May.
But you're
it's
not
every
doing
other
you're
year.
Not doing
it's every, it's,
oh,
not,
every
it's
other
not annual.
Year.
Yeah, it's every year.
I could
not do that every year.
Oh, I thought it was annually. Okay.
No, it's biannual.
Okay.
You know, they'll also give a chance for like you to have our junior devs are freshmen and sophomore. Our senior devs are junior. I mean, our debutantes are juniors and seniors. So it also gives you a chance to have like a new group of girls.
Come through. I got you. Okay. All right. And that was the church update of the
That was the church update from Sister Night. And I do plan to go to Easter service, but you know, it's one of those things. I actually usually prefer to go to Palm Sunday service instead of Easter service. It's a more lively service.
And Easter's super hectic.
Easter's super hectic. Palm Sunday is usually a more lively service, but I told a friend who I'd rescheduled on several times already from out of town that I would have brunch with her. So I got up and I listened to service while I was getting ready to go to brunch, went to brunch. So I'm going to go to Easter this Sunday, but yeah, you know, you got to get there early. You don't want to end up, the overflow don't hit the same.
No, at all.
Does
convent also do the, you can watch it online and all that stuff too? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm a watch church on Sunday.
Who you gonna watch? What church?
I always watch House of Hope, my man, E. Dewey Smith down in
Atlanta. That's your man, yo.
That's my man.
I feel like you gonna run into him and y'all just gonna be at the barbershop kicking it.
Hey, dude, you know, what about them Falcons this year, bro? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I like him, you know what I'm saying? Cause he's not, you know, he's not a kid, but he's probably Riley. I think he looks to be. I think he went to he graduated the same time as Jamal. He went to Morehouse as well. But okay. He graduated around the same time as Jamal and him. So I think he's around that age. He's a Q. And so he's got like, you know, he's obviously a pastor, but he's still got like regular kind of guy thing with him too. Like he talk about sports, he talk about the Lakers. He's like, you know, he mixes that into the service and he's not, you know, so old that it's kind of a generation gap. And so like bro said, that's my man. So I'm going to watch him this Sunday, you know, and see what he's up to, you know? You going to church, bro, Sunday?
No. I'm up in the air. I might. You know, we go to, you know, look, man, I'll go in and get the word at our non-denominational church, but it don't be slapping the same, bro. It ain't, you know, it just ain't like, I don't, you know, listen, it's a mega church, but not, it's on a smaller side of a mega church, right?
I got you.
So it's like maybe 6,000 members at this particular campus. And, you know, they're like three services. You know, that's usually kind of where we'll go, and, you know, get our word in. But I don't know, man. I'd love to go to Brooklyn to my childhood church, man. But like, that's the day.
That's the whole day. Like, you get it. I
mean, literally the day. Like, yeah. in order to be at 11 a.m. service, I gotta leave the crib at like 9:30.
Yeah,
be on time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot. That's like a job. That's like going to work.
Yeah, so like exactly. Literally, you tired.
You get back home 3:30.
Yeah,
ain't nobody took no ground meat out the freezer.
Yeah, exactly. You got to order some food and all that. I got you. Yes, it's a lot. Yeah, so like I said, I'm not even going front like I'm going. I'm gonna sit here and watch TV on my computer and enjoy myself. You know, so. Peace, David. Anybody, y'all got any shout outs before we get going?
I got a shout out, man. Like, shout out to people who travel with like no real regard for space.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is fascinating to me, man. Like, people are so, and what was crazy was I was watching this guy at the airport and, you know, first dude had bumped into me and I kind of just let it go. And I was saying to myself, Jesus, I hope he's not on our flight.
And of course.
Of course he's on our flight. Of course he's right behind us.
Oh, my God.
Of course he's in the middle aisle. He's in the middle seat. Mm. Now, dude is a smooth 6'2", a smooth 380.
No, he one of them dudes.
He's a big, this was a big dude, man. Like a big dude.
Like he really should have been in a first class seat.
Fam. Like this was a big, and I don't mean fat, like sloppy. This was a big man.
Yeah, just a big guy. Yeah. A
big dude. And like, dude, every time he would move, he's like grabbing the back of the seat.
Oh, to pull himself. Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, like, there people, like, it just, it's, and he's not doing it in some sort of disrespectful, you know, fuck your comfort vibe. You know, he was a nice, you know, he was actually a nice guy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you could see he was trying to switch seats with people and be accommodating. Some lady wanted to sit next to her friend or whatever. But like, it was just fascinating to me how people, especially big people, and again, I'm not just talking about big people like, you know, fat people. I'm just talking about big people in general don't have a sense of space, man. They just operate like a fucking hole in the China shop.
Like if you're in the way, that's on you.
and not even conscious of it. Like dude was just not even conscious of it. And I was like, yo, if you pull my seat one more time, like I'm gonna have to say something. And he felt when I turned, because the last time I turned around. Like, all right, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and then I said, I saw he was shuffling through his iPod, I mean, through his phone, and that nigga was playing Lloyd and Mario and he had a camouflage fitted on.
Oh.
And I said, I probably don't want no problems with
him. I don't want no old nigga problems
on
no
the plane.
No old man strength problems.
This nigga listening to Lloyd.
And Mario.
And Mario, nigga? Oh, yeah, that nigga been fighting all his life. She actually switched seats and all that shit. And it was crazy. Last point. So he switched the seats to the bulkhead seat.
Okay.
Not realizing. The armrest doesn't move.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, tight,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, so he shoved in there.
Shoved in, dude. Like a fucking like 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag, man.
Bless him. Bless his heart. Yeah, my plane coming back yesterday, it was windy. So like, I saw the stewardess towards the end of the flight. She kept like, the flight was over and people were kind of standing in the aisle because I was in the back of the plane. And she kept like squeezing her way through. And I was like, I wonder why she's kind of squeezing through people like that. And as I finally got up and walked up, somebody threw up crazy all over the plane, bro. That's what she was squeezing through. She kept coming back and forth with towels and napkins, and I was like, "What's going on?" And it was like a mess. 1 hour was just it was a disaster. And they had all talcum powder down. It was a disaster.
Somebody getting sick on the plane is I've had that happen when I was on an international flight. It's the worst.
God. The fortunate thing about this, fortunate is that it looked like it happened close to landing. Like, it didn't happen during the actual flight, but still, it was like that row was a disaster. I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine the people who were sitting here. So peace to them. Like, geez, Louise. Now, I'm gonna give you 1 minute.
To talk about what?
Game of Thrones, cause I don't watch it. I don't think bro watch it. And I know it just premiered. I know I never caught up. I never did the thing.
And you understand it. I mean, Sean, I understand. You're the fantasy dude.
I know. I've been watching the other stuff. I've been watching Family, Fiance, and.
Well, it's been on for 10 years. What other stuff?
I don't know. I ain't do it. So you got. It's the first episode.
Of the last season. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really not a whole lot I can say that hasn't already been said. Especially
By the way, that's Naima's mom in the background trying to fix something on the TV.
Oh yeah, sorry. We're doing some Fire Stick updates.
Like it's D2. What is it now?
They updating the Fire Stick. There's nothing I can really say that people don't already know who watch it. It was, some people think it was a slow episode, but it was a really good exposition episode. It was connecting this season basically to the whole series. It was connecting this season to basically the whole series and bringing everything full circle. And there's only 6 episodes this season.
Oh, it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, so it's going to be over by Memorial Day. It's going to be a wrap. But I think every episode is going to be over an hour long.
Okay. Tell Greg you got to talk with the inside voice.
Did she mute us? Yeah.
No, I heard y'all. They said sorry. Well, mom said sorry. But anyway, there's only 6 episodes this season. There's some things that we already know. If you watch Game of Thrones, there's an ultimate battle between the living and the dead that's coming to fruition. That's the ultimate Game of Thrones.
Okay.
It's not just about people, you know, battling for different land areas or kingdoms. It's actually between like the undead and the dead. Okay. So, which everybody didn't believe in until last season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's dope. The one thing I do want to say about Game of Thrones is that this, I think this might be the last big we watch as a Twitter family TV show. Like, they don't really happen anymore. Like,
that crosses all boundaries. Because you got the Insecure, but that's all Seymour Black. And
right.
That crosses across all.
Well, even Insecure, the last season of Insecure, people weren't as engaged as they were before. They were still engaged, but it wasn't like season 1 or even season 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there used to be Catfish, there used to be Scandal. Way back in the day.
Scandal had it on Smash, yeah.
Way back in the day, Black Twitter used to do To Catch a Predator before it was even Black Twitter.
Yeah. The first season of How to Get Away with Murder.
the first season of How to Get Away with Murder. Exactly. And there are fewer and fewer of those. I think The Walking Dead still to an extent for those who watch.
Love and Hip Hop has its moments.
It's not like it used to be. Love and Hip Hop and Real Housewives used to be more consistent, you know?
True.
I think this is going to be like, I don't know if we're going to get another event TV show like this. I mean, the nature of Twitter is to find something else. Westworld is too, a little bit. I don't know if we're going to really find another like event TV show, especially as more and more people become accustomed to binging.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to find another like event TV show like this.
Yeah. So yeah. So, I want to give a shout out. So I got home, like I said, from Atlanta last night. I've been gone for a week. So I was around the crib cleaning up. I started watching some hoop, and I just got to give a quick shout out to the Golden State Warriors and the LA Clippers game last night, which was nuts. The Clippers was down 31 in Golden State.
Golden State like blow 31 point leads at some point in playoffs. Isn't that what they do?
Not 31. 31 is a record of NBA. Like it was 31, like in the third, like it was over, and the Clippers came back, walked them down, and won the game. It was incredible. Like it's a series now. I still think Golden State will win, but the Clippers definitely got in their head a little bit with that thing last night. That was, you know, the game went off really late. It was like 2 a.m. But it was a great game. It was an amazing comeback. It was dope. That's when to give a quick shout out to that, because that was incredible. And you know, I'm a big NBA fan, so I've been heavy on these playoffs. You been watching it all, bro? Or you ain't had no time?
I ain't had no time, man. I couldn't keep up with the games.
Yeah, so you know, whatever. I'll keep kind of popping in and out. Let's do a quick us recap, since we hadn't watched. I don't think we had all hadn't seen it last week.
I still haven't seen it, so I'm walking away.
Oh, dang. You watched it. You saw it, right, bro?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right, so, cool. We get 2 minutes. 2 minutes. So, what'd you think?
Thought it was not good.
Here we go. We agree to disagree again, but now go on, give me a breakdown.
God bless him. I didn't think it was the worst movie in the world. That's not at all what I'm saying. I just didn't think that. I think a part of the problem is with seeing these movies, especially with black movies, is that there is so much energy put into it and so much hype made about it where you don't really get to sometimes just enjoy the movie, right? Okay. Like you kind of have these sort of, even if you don't have spoilers, there's a level of expectation that I think has been thrust into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm watching the movie. There'll be spoilers if you didn't watch the movie at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
There were some things that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
There were some things that I didn't quite. I am, for some strange reason, as someone who loves action movies, which there are ridiculous things that occur, for some reason, when I watch anything outside of that, I need my movie to make sense, like in some sort of linear or chronological sort of way.
So
like,
give me something that bothered you that didn't make sense.
I didn't quite understand, like, so when she goes downstairs, is that the only place where all of these people are being made by the government? Is that only the people that are sort of upstairs? Does that happen in every space? Like how if she's the doppelganger, she's down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does the husband get his doppelganger to connect with her? You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't understand how any of that translated, right? And it wasn't, I'm not a big horror person, but it was, you know, decent. You had some level of suspense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel it was more of a suspense thriller than an actual horror movie.
Yeah, I like there was some levels of suspense, right? Like I definitely didn't know dudes would get his ass whooped that quick.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to give up a little bit of a fight, right?
something. Yeah, but, he even tried.
yeah, you know, so it had its moments. I thought the actors were great. I didn't think the movie was bad.
You just didn't love it.
I didn't. Let me rephrase that. I thought the movie was bad, and I don't say that in a bad way. I think it is okay for black people to have bad movies. Like, it's fine
You know what I'm saying?
Everything ain't got to be 10 out of
everything
10.
Everything ain't got to be 10 out of 10. Like, white folks get bad movies all the time, B. All the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this wasn't like some great theatrical experience, in my opinion. It was kind of like a little weird in how it played out. Again, I didn't quite understand some things. Some things weren't answered. Some things were. I got it. It wasn't like super deep. It wasn't super woke. Mm. I didn't think that, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think that you needed a fucking degree in sociology to understand.
But, yeah, I liked it way better than you did. There definitely were parts that didn't, you know, there was kind of stuff that didn't make sense. I don't know if you did that purposely or not purposely.
And let me just say too, and not to cut you off, but that may be cutting room floor shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like sometimes
you gotta make edits. So
maybe
those things are answered in a director's cut or something like that, where there's an additional 15 or 20 minutes added onto a movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I definitely want to see the, you know, I don't know, with a Blu-ray or whatever they call it now, when they, you know, the part the when it comes out on, you know, DVD or whatever, the longer version, I definitely want to see that. But I really enjoyed it. I thought Lupita was excellent.
Yes.
Hopefully Oscar nom excellent. Like, I think she was that level of good. That's for playing both characters like that. I thought the kids were also excellent. I mean, all actors were great. I thought the kids were like amazing. And I enjoyed it because like once I kind of got over the first few minutes of like kind of like this isn't like a horror movie per se. It was just something that made me really kind of like watch and pay attention to kind of detail. I definitely want to go back and see it again now that I know the ending and what happens at the end to kind of see how he led up to that thing, you know, cause you can, now you start looking at things and saying, oh, that's why they did this or that's why they did that or that's why this happened or whatever. So I just want to go see it again. I really enjoyed it a lot, like, to the point, like I said, where I would go see it for a second time. You know, came in number one. So he's hot as fish grease right now. He's got the Twilight Zone show. He's working on something else too.
This isn't even my sort of movie, but there was a cultural obligation I felt, you know, to go see this.
Yeah.
And that's okay too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some movies that I've actually just paid for the ticket and, you know, maybe I didn't go because I want to support the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to say this. It's okay for us to critique and be critical of our movies in a fair and objective way. I'm not saying that my thing is like my vision is right and yours is wrong. I'm saying if someone doesn't think the movie is good,
it doesn't mean you're a race traitor.
That's why
you want them dead on in white gals, and that's why you
they turn you into like the nigga who was telling on Harriet Tubman bringing his clay. Like, nigga, what?
Yeah, you can't as Owens if you ain't like the movie.
Yeah, like, nigga, I didn't like the movie. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I still went. Shit. Still got my $12.50.
And I'm gonna go again.
Yeah.
And I would go to see his movies again. I'm just not, I'm not a fan of that movie style. Like, I never saw Get Out.
Oh, really?
I didn't go to the movies to see Get Out. And then I had the opportunity to watch it. And I still have the, you know, we get the screeners.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just never gotten around to it. Like, it's just not my, it's a movie that I would probably watch if it was on the TV.
But you ain't gonna seek it out.
I didn't feel to seek it out. So I'm saying that to give some perspective, like his genres of movies are not something that appeal to me.
Okay, I got you. All right, cool. But that was the Us version. Nah, can she hear us?
No, she can't.
She's talking to her mom. Hey, come on back. Okay, so here she comes. Here she comes. She's coming on back. All right, see, that was the Us version of the show. We didn't really give out that many spoilers either, so we're split on it. We're 1-1. Now, when you go see it, you let us know what you think. You'll break the tie.
Okay.
I wanted to just mention, we'll have to go into detail, but I definitely want to mention the Nipsey Hussle funeral, which happened, I guess, not quite a week ago, but about a week, almost a week ago. Huge funeral at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Looked like it was filled pretty much to capacity or almost. Wide array of speakers, very kind of moving funeral, more of a celebration of his life than a mourning, which was nice. You know, more upbeat than downbeat. It was covered on television by BET and somebody else, another network too, I'm blanking on. BET did a good job covering it. You know, they had kind of, what's his name? Mark Myhill and somebody else hosted. They did a pretty good job covering it. And you know, the whole Los Angeles kind of, you know, especially South Central Los Angeles seemed like they came out to celebrate his life and, make some promises, which, you know, we all hope they keep. And you know, all of us honestly keep to kind of, you know, do the right thing, as, you know, for lack of a better term, moving forward. Total gang truce, in Los Angeles. We'll see. Hopefully that lasts for quite a long time. Gangs seem to be trying to work together to do things to uplift as opposed to, you know, do negative things. So, you know, in death, he spurned a lot of, you know, positivity and hopefully, you know, positive change. What'd y'all think?
I'll let Nah go.
Go ahead, Nah.
Mom's on the phone. Somebody else go.
Okay. So, I did not watch the funeral.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I just didn't really feel, I didn't quite know what to expect. I just kind of didn't want to be in that space. Okay. It was, you know, it's obviously moving that he had so many people, come together and, you know, sort of honor his life, mm-hmm. honor what he's done. And really what I enjoyed most was seeing people talk about continuing that energy and continuing mm-hmm. that community, connectivity, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, people are going by, they're supporting the clothing brand, which is ideal and which is great. And, it was,
his record sales went up like 7,000, something crazy.
Yeah,
His album came in number two, this past week on the Billboard chart.
Which is dope, right? And so I think that's, I think it was really dope to see, you know, his mom, expressed, and one of the things that I talked about, I think on text to you guys was that it was really, you know, for most of us that do not grow up in gang culture, let me just speak for myself. For me, not having grown up in gang culture in New York City, we did not have the same level of gang situations, obviously, as it is in LA. So when you watch these clips and you're watching this sort of young, innocent kid, right? Like looking like he's like doing just very young, innocent stuff. And then you realize just how cold the fucking streets are, man, and how it puts you in those positions, man. It was just, you know, the assumption is that all of these kids and all of these people that are in these gangs are just sort of, you know, that's what they've done. Right? Like you wake up day.
It's their life.
It's their life. You're like, you're in the gang. There's no, and there's no happiness, right? Like there's a sense of despair, right? Like that's the image that you get. Like there is no level of happiness. And you look and it's like, you know, he's doing the fucking break dancing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was really dope. It was really dope to see that because again, we see an artist, we see a man, and oftentimes what we don't see is a family in that level of growth, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really get to see that. And I think that gave some perspective. I'm glad that folks are, you know, trying to honor him in a way that is stand up.
Yep.
There's some folks that have, in my opinion, that are trying to capitalize off his death in a way that is slimy.
Yep.
And really, really fucking disgusting just on a human level.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, there's one person in particular that really just that whole Reggie Bush shit just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, that was weird. That was very weird.
Very, very weird. But I think Nipsey's death has also placed a lot of spotlight on people trying to be in the spotlight and be active.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know that all you niggas that are out here now, you know, were
being as supportive when he was here.
When he was alive, you know, exactly.
When yeah. So I don't know. But look, if that's what if fronting and trying to feel good helps some kids out, then who are me to judge, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What'd you think, Nye?
So I didn't watch the funeral either. I was out of town for work and I considered watching it and I just wasn't in the right headspace for it. So, but I was kind of watching commentary online, obviously, and I watched the, I guess it was the recessional bringing him back to the funeral home, bringing him back to South Central, and kind of watched all that live coverage. And I watched some clips, but again, I didn't watch the whole service. But I do agree with, Mama, you're not really whispering. I do agree with, I do agree with Sean about, like, I think there's a learning curve for people about gang culture and about what it's like. And one of the things that really frustrated me about what some people would say about Nipsey was like, well, he was a gangbanger. What do you expect? As though he was still at 33, like out.
In like break yourself, fool. And everybody think it's like a Boys in the Hood or Men's Society. You know?
Men's Society. But it's also like people seem to think that you make a conscious choice. Like you make a conscious choice that, 13, like at 13, maybe you do think you want to be a gangbanger, but it's because you don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may have no choice, but also like, you don't just rescind your membership to a gang one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't just say,
like, I don't do that anymore.
yeah, I'm going to stop paying my dues. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, you don't, like, you're always a gang member. You may not be an active gang member.
Yeah.
But there's no such thing. Like, Snoop is still a Crip. Like, there's no such thing as just, like, you are no longer, you may not bang anymore, but you're still a gang member.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook, you're like one of them guys, like, a lot of those guys, Baron Davis, these guys are like, you know, they grew up in the middle of L.A. in the hood. Like, it's what it is, bro.
Yeah, and it's like, a lot of times gang affiliated just means you're from that neighborhood. Like, that's
exactly.
It. That's literally it. Exactly. So I think there's a learning curve there. I also agree with Sean about some people trying to capitalize off his death. Obviously, it's brought out a lot of the hoteppiness, the a lot of condemnation, you know, about some of his beliefs over others. People starting, you know, random rumors like Jay set up a trust fund for Nip's kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
$15 million and all that.
Yeah, which A, didn't happen. B, even if it had happened, Jay-Z would have done it quietly. We never.
Yeah, would've. He would not have put that in, which is why I think something might have happened, but I think, but Jay definitely would not publicize it.
Right. And like even, but I don't think, I don't know that we would have known about it that quickly. And true. Like even Biggs reposted that. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, it also shows you how quickly misinformation can just spread. And that's the whole thing. I think Nipsey's death specifically has been a very unique case of watching how celebrity deaths affect people and the cycles that it goes through on social media. And there was this one chick who ended up going viral. And I know she definitely thought nobody was going to see it. Because she was talking about how the funeral cost taxpayers $1 million.
Oh yeah, that girl, yeah.
And I mean, she was just white girl. Yeah, she was just talking shit. Like, I went through her timeline and she literally hashtags everything she posts. She adds every personality that she talks about. She only has like 1,200 followers.
She wants attention.
She wants attention. She's been hoping to go viral her whole life. But what was interesting to me is that she responded to people who she could say, I'm reporting this tweet, you're threatening me, you're insulting me, whatever. But the people who were literally like, all right, you're wrong though, and what's the point of the tweet? She would ignore or straight, like she blocked me. And I didn't cuss her out, I didn't come at her. I was really like, what's the point of you posting this during the memorial?
Mm-hmm.
And it's misleading because the city of LA did not throw Nipsey a funeral. Like that.
Absolutely.
First of all, that number, she based that number on Michael Jackson. We don't even know if that number is real. That's A.
Yeah.
Secondly, that $1 million is about, and Sean, tell me if I'm wrong, that $1 million is about like street closures and cops.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, yeah, that's overtime
logistics. That's not the city of LA cut a check to the Staples Center and pay for florals. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that. And she really, because she was arguing with people like, rich people need to pay for their own funerals. His family did pay for his funeral. Like, that's not what this is. And it's not money that was sitting around in, like, community chests that would have gone to some orphanage or, you know, a women's shelter or something had it not been used on that day. So that kind of thing was kind of frustrating. You know, people being in his pockets, like you said, the Reggie thing. But I do think it was a great celebration of his life. I think it was great to see how many people really wanted to come out and support him. I do think it's great to see how many people take inspiration from him, even though some people are going a little too far with just Jesus shit.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Especially on Holy Week. It's definitely blasphemous, but whatever. Yeah. But I do love, it's been a long time since I've seen an artist inspire that way.
Yeah.
But now what's going to happen is that over the years, he's going to become deified like Pac.
Yeah.
And it's going to become insufferable on a certain level. But for now, it is inspiring to see people move.
To see it like that. Yeah.
And let me just say one thing too about the Reggie thing. You know, look, man, like it is incredibly insulting, in my opinion, to assume that that man did not tend to and take care of his family.
Yeah, like they all jammed up out here.
Like just the pure assumption of that is mind-blowing.
Yeah,
and the fact that you were asked not to do this specifically.
Yeah, and you did anyway.
And you did it anyway, right? Like, so there's nothing about any of that stuff. Nothing about any of that. And then it was just like to ask people to donate to, and I'm saying to myself, like, nigga, I'm sure you've lost a homie that really could have used a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 100% positive you lost somebody in your past that could have actually used that kind of bread and that kind of, you know, GoFundMe situation. Like, for you to do that for him and then do it, it just, honestly, man, that shit felt slimy. That shit felt real. It felt
like, look at me.
It felt insulting.
Especially because Reggie said he didn't even know him.
Not only that, like, that dude didn't leave. He left the village with his wife and child. He has a brother. He has
a sister, his mom, his
dad. I'm probably going to sound a little bit caveman. He left, there are men around her.
No doubt.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to be without guidance. She's not going to be, and I'm not saying that she needs guidance. Yeah, she's not just going to be out here trying to figure out and she on the fucking 12 bus.
Yeah.
Taking them
kids to the doctor. Yeah.
Like, nigga, what are you talking about?
Yeah. He was doing a lot. He was doing a lot, man. I was like, what's going on, Reg? It blew me when he said he didn't know him. I thought at least he knew him to be doing something. You didn't even know the dude, man. Come on.
That's what I'm saying about there is an air of opportunity that is occurring, even, and I'm going to be real, even with some of these, and I'm using air quotes, some of these gang truths, some of these, you know, shots, and I'm not saying his hood, because again, that's a different vibe, a different culture, but I'm seeing, you know, tons of people sort of doing, you know, they're going, trying to go viral with these truce ceremonies. And you know, look, man, I don't want to ever discourage anyone from being genuinely moved by someone's death. And again, we all grieve very differently, but this is starting to reek of how can I go viral? How can I be down? And this is where the age of social media really comes into play and shows you the cons to the pros, which is you just don't know when someone's being real about some shit.
Exactly. I want to do a couple of quick hits. Piece to Jay-Z. I guess he's doing a concert at Webster Hall on April 26th or 29th. The rumor is that
he's going to sell out like in two.
The tickets go on sale Friday. Rumor is that he bought it, and this is why he's doing the first concert there. Is why he bought it, and he's doing a concert as
me and like Rock Nation bought it.
Yeah, I guess Rock Nation via him bought it, and he's doing the show there as a kind of reopening of the Webster Hall. So, peace to him. I'd like to go to that show. I'm sure it's going to be crazy, but I'd like to go to that show.
I'm not going to Webster Hall for no damn Jay-Z show. It ain't
1996,
nigga. The fuck?
I mean, my story's coming on that night. I ain't got
no, but I'm saying, do you know how crazy it is?
Oh, it's going to be, it's gonna be pure chaos.
I like the idea of it.
I like the chaos. You know what I'm talking about? I like the chaos.
I need a seat.
I want to say peace to, I guess peace to is a little, I don't know, a little whimsical, but, to Notre Dame, Paris.
Love to Paris. That's hard to watch yesterday.
Paris has quietly been going through some shit, man. With these riots that are still going on.
They're still going on regularly.
Like, they're still fighting the cops, like, pretty much daily. Yeah. Out there, and then you know, and it's like real fights, not just like a little something. Like they getting busy, now this I don't know if they come up with a cause, which is interesting to me. Like, how could this whole thing burn down? Like, what caused it? But
it's been under construction. Oh, my God. It's been under construction. The spire at the top has been under construction for some years, and they think it had something to do with that because the area where it is, I doubt there was any foul play because if you've ever been to the top, like the Notre Dame is like that area where the fire starts, like 300 feet high. So yeah. You're not easily just getting up there. And it's an area that even if you climb to the top, of the towers, you can't reach over there. You can't access it like at all.
Yeah. It was, so, some of the pictures were like just amazing to see.
It was amazing. And it was also, I mean, I guess I'm one of those people who, when I watch like an Indiana Jones or something like that, and they totally destroy some hidden, you know, ancient relic that's been untouched and preserved for hundreds of years. Like I went, you know, so watching it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watching it yesterday was really, and to have been there before, it was really heartbreaking. And I was telling my mom, like, I didn't tweet this because I knew so many people would misconstrue it, but on September 11th, there were two elements for me to September 11th. There was the horror and terror of watching the attack and realizing what was happening. But then later there was the surrealism of watching a tower fall.
Yeah, the tower falling was bonkers.
When the first tower fell,
yeah, that was insane.
Like, yo.
You never think you're actually going to see that.
Exactly. But, like, it's part of the New York skyline, you know?
Yeah.
So when the tower fell, I really couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that, like, one of the let alone the second one. Like when the first one fell, I just really couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that like one of the World Trade Towers fell. So that's how, and you know, Notre Dame is hundreds and hundreds of years old, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
And parts of it have been rebuilt before. Not all of it is the original church. And fortunately, they have really intricate, there was just a study done recently. I can't remember which university, but they have really intricate, like 3D blueprints. Mm. So they will, and the original, the structure of the church for the most part is still standing. They didn't think they were going to be able to save it for a while, but the structure of the church is still standing. The roof is probably gone. The top spire is gone.
Yeah, that fell over. Yeah.
That fell over. But that was also, was a recreation of the original anyway. But I mean, it was still old as hell. Older than anything we got here. And they got all the art and the sacraments out.
Okay. I mean, it rebuilt. I saw today that LVMH, Louis Vuitton. They're donating $200 million.
Like, just they'll rebuild, right, but it'll be different. So like,
yeah, it'll be different.
The huge window, the rose window, that faces out to the Seine, melted. And that kind of stained glass technique literally doesn't exist anymore. So you can recreate that, but it won't be the same. And I don't know what's going to happen to like the frescoes that are inside all the individual chapels, whether those are safe or whether they got fire damage, you know, like that type of thing. So it's probably not going to be completely the same. And it's going to be decades before anybody can go visit the Notre Dame again.
Yeah. I'm going to shut that out because it's obviously like a, you know, one of the wonders of the world. I wanted to mention it. Also, real quick, peace to y'all. I was in Atlanta this week. So their prom, I guess the official prom day, how Atlanta does it, I don't know if other cities do this, like pretty much every prom is the same day.
Really?
It's like a day. So it was last Friday, whatever date that was. That was prom day in Atlanta. Saturday. I'm lying.
Yeah, Saturday is usually prom.
Last Saturday was the prom day in Atlanta. The whole city is prom.
That's weird because that means that if you're dating somebody else at a different school, y'all got to pick.
You got to pick where to go. Exactly.
We had some schools in our city that had prom on the same day, but I want to say they were all in April, but I want to say they were a couple weeks apart.
Yeah, no, I look like this is pretty much every school was the same day. So, and it was just a wonder to see, you know, all these kids, because, you know, I always stay at the same hotel, which is right in the middle of the city. It's called the 12 right at Atlantic Station, which is kind of like an area right in the middle of the city. So a ton of kids come to that area to take pictures and stuff because there's a couple of things around there, like a little park thing. It's really pretty that people come. But it was just a wonder to see the money that is being spent on these proms. Like, you know, in front of my hotel, it was kids in Ferraris and Bentleys.
That's
like
my mother.
17 years old.
Like,
yeah.
Not never.
Yo, my man, I went to meet my man Ryan. His nephew Amir went to the prom. So he had just gotten dressed in Ryan's crib. Yo, Amir had on the Versace belt, the Karl Lagerfeld shoes. The shoes cost a stack. The shoes cost a stack. Like, I'm like, this is bonkers. Like the money that they're spending on proms nowadays. Again, I know Atlanta's a black city, so maybe it's more us, but you know, some white kids out there too, though. But it's just, you know, just
I blame Instagram because I don't know if these kids go to the prom and have a good time. I have no idea what happens at the prom. I just know they get lit before the prom taking pictures.
Yeah, there's like, it's all about no pictures in the prom.
Exactly. There's never a picture in the prom.
Yeah. It's just a picture of the kids and, you know, getting ready to go to prom. That's all the pictures and what kind of car they had and what she was wearing and what he was wearing. It's just unbelievable, man. Like I saw on Instagram, Kirk and Rashida, bless them. They sent their son to the prom, his date to the prom in a helicopter.
But why?
A helicopter.
Why are you doing it?
What are you looking up to? What are you looking forward to if you took a helicopter to the prom?
Man, y'all better go on and get that.
Also,
get that
what Ultima. Where are you going to prom that there's a helipad? I don't even understand that. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't even know where the helicopter landed. I don't know, but yeah, y'all better go and get that Maxima take to the car wash.
Listen, what's wrong with a clean Maxima? Ain't nothing wrong with some extra
black ice air fresheners and
exactly. Tell them put extra armor all on there.
I've always said, for young girls, I understand that, you know, listen, your outfit is really going to be special and spectacular. And there's really not much more you can do with that dress after that.
Yep.
But for guys, I've always been fascinated by like young men can wear and do some really funky things at a prom with items that they can get more wear out of.
Right. Absolutely.
And I'm always fascinated when I see, like, to me, I'm not saying you, if you can afford $1,000 pair of shoes, okay. But I'm saying your $1,000 pair of shoes should probably not be like, you know, a bedazzled loafer.
Yeah. That you're going to wear once.
That you really can't wear to like a job interview. Right, like, you know what I'm saying?
Or Easter Sunday.
You know what I mean? I mean, what are we talking about here, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, it was just amazing to see, man. So I just had to, it was unbelievable. Hey, have y'all been watching The Chi?
You know what? No. I was just telling Greg, I was watching the first episode and I couldn't get past like the back third of it. It was an uncomfortable watch for me and I stopped watching. And you'll probably know the part I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
That and I just I turned it off. I was like,
that was the most brutal.
That's the most brutal I've seen on TV.
Yeah, exactly. That was like Jesus.
And Christ. I didn't even understand. I also didn't understand why it was happening because I think I'd only been half paying attention. So I had to just
on the latest episode, which I watched actually this morning, they're investigating why it happened. So there's And I'm saying that to say, like, don't feel weird. You didn't know why it's happening because it wasn't really explained.
Like, yeah, because I was like, we know who these people are. Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
it's starting to give a little clues as to why. I have my own theories as to why it happened.
I have a theory too, based
yeah,
on
but it. Yeah, but it was vicious. But that being said, I really do enjoy that show. It kind of reminds me of The Wire. I'm maybe not quite that intricate, but it's on that in that same kind of umbrella of The Wire, with like multiple storylines and how they kind of overlap and move in and out of each other's lives. I really enjoy it. I'm really enjoying this season. I don't know what the ratings are or anything like that, but I'm really kind of enjoying the season. Did y'all watch want to mention the new the latest Lion King trailer? It gave us a little more. Oh, you ain't see it? Oh, okay, yeah, it gave us more. It's still,
that's how people talking about it. I just don't care that much. I mean, I'm not even trying to sound cynical, I just don't care that much.
Yeah, it gave us more in depth. They still didn't give us the Beyonce. But they gave, or Glover, but they gave us kind of more. It gave us Scar, and they gave us, they showed Timon and Pumbaa and Rafiki more. So you're kind of getting a little more, just kind of visuals of what it's going to look like. I'm very intrigued by this movie. I really want to see it. Like, I'm going to see it when it comes out. And I guess next week we'll also talk about, the Beyonce documentary, which comes out tomorrow.
Yep, comes out tomorrow. Oh, and I need to get, speaking of that, shit, well, it might still be by the time it comes out. Shout out to Country Cousin and George 2.0. This is Spring Cummins' 5th anniversary this weekend. So that's like an unofficial kickoff.
Oh, Greg is leaving. I think this is the last one. I think Country Cousin said this is the last one. Cause you know she's got a baby now, and she's got the time, you know, to do. Yeah. And she doesn't live in the city anymore, so it's probably kind of hard for the back and forth. So I'm gonna try to go through something this weekend just to show support.
Yeah, I'll be on the yard. I'll be at the Yard Fest on Saturday.
Is that Saturday? Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that Saturday at Riverbank.
You know what? I'll come through there. I mean, shit, I live right up the street now. Shit, it's easy.
That one's easy and it's fun.
Yeah, it's really, it's really up to
Sean. You could even bring Jordan; she'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Have y'all been watching any more of the Family Fiance? Did you watch? I didn't watch this week, so I haven't seen it yet. But it was a lesbian couple, correct?
Yeah.
Did y'all watch it?
I
didn't see this week. What day does it come on?
Saturday
come
night.
On
like 9 or 10.
Saturday night. How was it? How was
it? It wasn't crazy. It wasn't like one of the crazier or more intriguing episodes. I mean, both families, one family is the sisters were, I guess, like super religious. So they felt the way that the girl was in a lesbian relationship in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of the family, I guess the girl has a temper. And the other side of the other woman's family had a lot of, had abusive relationships in their history. So they were worried about her.
Okay.
Getting into an abusive relationship, but they were also worried because the fiance doesn't work. She stays at home with her two kids.
Oh.
So they feel like she was a gold digger, and I guess they fight about money and some other stuff. But by the end, they all came around. I feel like these women are young, and I think that kind of affects them. Like, I feel like both of them are young because a lot of the shit just wasn't that deep. It was very shallow, but they were trying to make it deep.
Trying to make it heavy.
And neither one of them are really great at articulating their emotions and their feelings. So apparently at the end of the episode, because they do fight a lot, they had agreed to go to counseling.
Okay.
But the families gave their blessing on the condition of them going to counseling. But the end card said they had not yet actually gone.
Of course not.
So, of course not.
I wanted to talk about this story in D.C., the go-go music story in D.C. So
was it hashtag don't mute D.C.?
Yeah, don't mute D.C., exactly. So there's a T-Mobile Metro PCS store in D.C. right in the heart of the hood. I think it's in Southeast. And it's been there for years. And what they do is they play go-go music. It's on the corner of 7th Street and Florida Avenue. So that's right near Howard. And what they do is they play go-go music outside every day. That's kind of like their thing. They play go-go music and people go in there, obviously pay their bills, whatever. So like every other city in America, it's been gentrification happening around. Well, DC is basically gentrified. It's not even happening. It's happened. And they've moved deep into, the black areas like they did everywhere else. And one of those areas again is all around Howard. And they bought their cafes and the coffee shops and the Whole Foods and all that other stuff there. And so some of the neighbors started complaining about this Metro PCS playing go-go music outside, you know, during the day. Now, remember, it's only during business hours, not playing it like at midnight. And they started complaining about the noise. So it's become a huge thing in D.C. where the residents of the area, and because go-go is such an integral part of the D.C. culture. It is like D.C. culture. Like, it's really the only city that has go-go, like, that kind of drives it like that. Like, it's like, go-go is to them is what hip-hop is to New York, or what house music is to Chicago, or, you know, bass music is to Miami. It's just part of the fabric of the city.
Right.
These people started to complain, and it turned into this huge thing. So they've been having these huge rallies around the Metro PCS. Like, and I mean, thousands of people are coming out.
The rallies are because at first Metro PCS was ordered to stop playing the go-go.
Yes.
Lasted exactly one day.
Yeah, one day. And then they
before the rallies came.
Yeah.
And it's after one day of protest, and I mean, they were taking up the whole block.
Yeah, huge.
And it was even like Wale was out there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they had speakers. Yeah,
go-go bands.
Like they was like, and I know whoever it was, because I think it was actually one. I think it was like one person who got.
Wasn't it that one guy who was in the video?
I don't know if it was the guy in the video, but my understanding is that this all really started. It wasn't like a whole community of complaints. It was like one person who was consistently complaining, but that one dude, I know he was mad as fuck because it was noise outside his window for 36 hours straight.
This brought in a bigger issue, which I think we definitely have discussed it here before, talking about kind of the changes here in Harlem and Brooklyn, which is kind of two most gentrified areas of New York, although other ones that Lower East Side and Queens, and lots of parts of Queens now, and the Bronx, the South Bronx is flipping literally as we speak. Like, if you drive on the Bruckner Boulevard, you're seeing buildings going up, boom, 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 everywhere there were open lots. But it just brought up this big issue of just gentrification in general and how it's affecting, you know, the culture and the communities of the existing communities of the city, and how the gentrifiers feel like they come in, and because they moved there and lived there for 6 months, they expect the culture around their area to bend to their will.
Right. And that's the problem with gentrifiers, right? Is that they come into a community, they see things they don't like, and like you said, they want to change it based on what they like instead of trying to actually incorporate themselves into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there are changes that a community needs to make, you can lend your efforts, but it's not necessarily for you to lead the charge, right?
Exactly.
So that's a problem. And it's crazy because, like, I was thinking about how great it would have been if there had been social media and this form of social media outcry back when they were trying to get rid of the drummers in Marcus Garvey Park, which I'm still mad about. I mean, the drummers are still there, thankfully. I don't know if they're there as frequently as they used to be. But that, to me, was like the highest level of this shit. Like, you move a stone's throw away from 125th Street. They've been in the park since the 60s.
Yep.
And you got the nerve to start complaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And again, and they're not out there 3 a.m.
Right.
They're out there like 1:00 p.m. on a beautiful Saturday. Like, what is your problem, son?
So these people want the culture and the flavor, but they want it from like 5 to 6:30 on weekdays.
Yeah.
And from like 1 to 3 on the weekends. And that's it. And then
shut down. Y'all got to go because I'm in here watching, you know, HGTV and you're disturbing, you know?
Like, churches are getting harassed for double parking, which granted, black churches be wilding with double parking, but still, black churches getting harassed for their parking.
I mean, they're wilding with the double parking, but again, like, where else are they going to park? Like, there's
exactly.
No parking here, man. It's convent, there's no parking at convent, so you don't park on 145th Street.
Exactly.
It's an unknown law that they're not going to Pikachu and, you know, until like what, 2:30?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, come on, man, there's nowhere else to park. And people come from all over, as an example, to go to church. It's not just the locals. People drive from Jersey or from Westchester or whatever. So come on, man, stop it. It's foolishness. It's horrible.
That's why we don't like y'all gentrifiers.
Yeah. Y'all
calling niggas on bodega cats. The cats are co-owners of the bodega. Like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like you just no concept of cultural norms. You're not just moving onto a block. You're moving into a neighborhood.
That's been there way before you.
Yeah. Just because it doesn't look like what you think a neighborhood looks like, it's still a neighborhood. There are still like traditions and norms and social practices and all of that that you just don't bother to even learn about.
Yeah. What you think, bro?
I mean, I agree with you guys. I mean, I think this is just about people not ever being made to conform, accept, or identify anything outside of their norm. And the moment that they are put in a position where they have to acknowledge something that's outside of their normal culture, they don't want to accept it. They don't want to deal with it because it's not their norm. And, you know, also there's this theory of, you know, there's a theory of privilege as well, right? Like, look, I pay $4,000 a month for this one bedroom and I get the demand shit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you live right around the corner, you pay
and have for 30 years.
Yeah, and have for 30 years, you pay $475. Therefore, my concerns should be heard loud and clear, and yours should not.
Exactly.
And that's really what this shit really boils down to, man. It's really, this is always about have and have not. This is always about pushing the boundaries of what is not just acceptable, but also what we can get away with implementing, what we can get away with, where we can draw the line in the sand. What's the precedent here? You know what I'm saying? Like, we all live in neighborhoods and we all have different norms. It's like in my, you know, in our neighborhood, we knew Mr. James parked by the light because he, you know, he would have his truck had all of his tools in it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally chain his truck to the light pole. Everybody in the neighborhood knew that.
Wow. It just was what it was.
You just wouldn't park if there was another place for you to park, that's where you park. You would always
right, you're not gonna take his space.
You don't take his spot.
James, because yeah, that's James, you know spot. Him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like there are just certain people, certain things, certain, you know, energies in a neighborhood that you should probably just take a second to take in. You know what I'm saying? And again, listen, and I'm also not saying that, look, I don't know when they were playing that music, but right. I think as people have also grown to, you know, work from home, there are a lot of people that do that now. That's much more common than it was maybe even 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, I think that it's a problem for people when they have to, you know, do that. But I think that you have to come to a level of compromise. You have to come to some sort of agreement. You have to, you know, you can actually go and ask the owner and talk to them.
Right.
Like, yeah.
You can go do that. It's like okay.
And that's the other thing. There are so many steps, which is what we have been saying, especially all last year with the whole phenomenon, you know, this rash of publicized moments of white people calling the police for dumb shit. There are so many steps you can usually take before it gets to like you calling police to complain or something like that. And they just don't care to take those steps.
Yeah, they just want to jump over and just to bend at their will. Bruh's got to run, but me and Nah are going to finish it up. Just a couple more things. I wanted to mention Dwayne Wade's son attending the Pride Parade in D.C. Mm-hmm. I mean, D.C., in Miami. Mm-hmm. Just about a week or so ago. I guess this made news and headlines because, I guess it was his unofficially coming out, and because of the support that Dwayne and Gab have for him,
right.
You know, being, you know, being who he is and not tripping on it. Right. I mean, I thought it was like a great thing, but it definitely, as usual in our community, caused some controversy because some people are like, oh, they pushing it on that boy and how does he even know he's gay? And the, I'm like, yeah, the boy's like 11 to 12. He's not one. I mean, I guess he knows what he feels also, and what it is.
You know,
and I'm sure they've had a conversation with him. Otherwise, they wouldn't have took him to the parade.
But even that, it's a weird thing. And even that isn't just a black thing. I've noticed white people say that, like when white parents who have kids who are like younger and or in middle school and who are already like non-conforming or anything like that are, expressing their identity as they want to. There's a lot of question of, but they're too young to. Listen, if you wouldn't have a problem with your 12-year-old going to a school dance and like, you know, dancing with some, you know, going and or calling someone the opposite sex, like their boyfriend, girlfriend, you know what I mean? Like, if you wouldn't have a problem with your 11, 12-year-old sending Valentines or having a crush on a girl or a boy in school, like, how is this isn't different.
At all.
It's not different at all. If 11 or 12-year-old can know they like the opposite sex, they can know if they like the same sex.
Exactly.
And with Dwayne's and Gabby's son, like, we still don't know how he identifies. He could identify as queer. He could be figuring it out. He could just know he's not straight. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, but that's their kid.
Exactly.
You know, and they're encouraging him so that he's not out here, like, you know.
I called her, she called me, so.
Oh, Jeff's talking to his super. Anyway, let me continue. That's their kid, and by supporting their kid this way, part of the problem that we have with.
No, I'll tell you to do it tomorrow. I'll tell you to do it tomorrow. Okay. Thank you, man.
Jeff might need to.
Just be careful
with the sink, because I put new coffee.
Okay.
And you just try that.
Dr. Pusher. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And his
phone. All right, thanks.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Jeff, you wasn't on mute, by the way.
Sorry, yeah, I did. I was the supervisor.
I know, but you weren't on mute.
I wasn't? Oh,
no, it's okay. I was saying the great thing about them supporting him, part of the problem we have in the black community is the fact that we are a very repressive people. Like, there's just stuff you're just not supposed to talk about. You're just not supposed to acknowledge it.
Especially like, put it in public like that. And meanwhile, like Gabby's in picture. Dwayne couldn't be there because he was playing. He's
right.
The season, but he sent the I think an Instagram post like saying how proud he was of his son and everything. And then Gabby went with him to the parade, and
yeah,
you know, like they looked like they had a great time.
They loved it, had a great time. Like, encourage that young man, let him be who he's gonna be. Yeah. You know, I have no statistics to say all of it, but so much of the homophobia from black men in the black community is from repressed sexual shit. I'm not gonna say all of it, but there's a lot of it. Like a lot of these motherfuckers hate women because you actually don't really like women. You just never knew you could explore that. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like,
you're doing what society or your grandmother would have told you to do, but it's not really who you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I just thought it was a beautiful thing, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that you know, he's in a, you know, in a space where he can be nurtured and not be, you know, tripped on for being who he is. And I'm sure, you know, they've had several discussions about it amongst their family and, you know, they seem accepting of who he is. And that's cool. It's like EJ and Magic. It is what it is, bro. Like, it is what it is.
And I think it took Magic a minute.
I think it took Magic a minute, but
EJ is clearly going to be who the fuck.
EJ is who he is. You know, he's living his best life, like for real.
For real. His best life, my best life, everybody's best life.
Exactly. So like, you know, EJ about 6'5", a smooth 240. So
yes, EJ bigger than Magic.
Step to him. No, Magic's 6'9".
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, I'm saying, but if step to EJ, if you want to, you're going to get your ass kicked. Other thing I wanted to mention, speaking of Magic Johnson, is he quit, I guess he was the president or general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers last week. And, this caused a lot of,
because he did it during a press conference, right?
Yeah, he just did it. He just felt, he didn't call Jeannie Buss, who was the owner of the team. He didn't tell, he might have told Cookie or something, but like, he didn't tell anybody on the team he was going to do it. He called a press conference, which everybody thought was going to be like the end of the year press conference of like, yo, you know, we'd have a great season, and this is what we plan on doing for next year, blah, blah, blah. And then meanwhile, he was like, nah, you know what? I'm out. And it's caused a lot of uproar and everything because everybody's like, well, how could he do this? And my thing was like, first of all, he could do it because he's worth a smooth $800 million. He don't have to be nobody's employee if he don't want to.
But I think, how can you do it? Isn't there a certain amount of accountability to the organization?
Yeah, there is. And you know, he's the reason he said he didn't tell Jeannie Buss, who's the owner and you know was his boss, is because they're so close. They're like brother and sister. He was like, it would have been too emotional for me to face her. Like it would have just been.
That sounds like a cop out.
Yeah, it was a bit of a cop out, but I'm just telling you what he said. Right. But my thing was, I know there is accountability, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree with the way he did things, but I also had an appreciation for him as a black man being in the position to be like, you know what, I don't want to do this no more, and I'm not doing it. Yeah, and like, yeah. And it does not going to affect my life. He still owns the Dodgers. He still owns a piece of the Lakers as well. He still owns, you know, tons of other businesses. Like, it's not going to stop my flow. That's the part I just appreciated, that as a black man, sure. Most of us are not in the space to be like, yo, man, I'm out. Like, we have to kind of like suck it up or like try to look for another job. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, nah, B, I'm gone. That's the part. The part that he could do what white folks do all the time, which is like, you know what? I don't like this and I'm leaving.
Right.
So he's gone and he's going on he's figure out what he'll do. The Lakers looking for a new head coach because Luke Walton got fired and all this. But it was just an interesting thing to watch the white sports writers basically try to chastise him for quitting because it's like they couldn't wrap their mind. To me, they couldn't wrap their mind around a black man having that much, kind of self-worth and power to just do it and not care.
Well, I have a question, though. Was Magic getting kind of played in the role? Was he being disrespected in the role? Like, was there genuine reason to quit?
That's what he said. He said there's so much infighting and backstabbing throughout the organization. He didn't want to stay. That's what it was. He said he wasn't that he was mad. Of course, he was mad they didn't have a great season, but he just didn't like the way things were moving internally. And he's like, yo, I don't have to deal with this. Right. You know what I'm saying? And also he's become, you know, not surprisingly, a huge mentor to a lot of players in the league. And, all the players, especially like point guards and stuff, that guys who played his position, call him a lot to talk and stuff. Young guys from college call him and ask him questions, you know, just stuff. He's Magic Johnson, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
And as a general manager, he's not allowed to talk to them. He actually got fined a couple of times throughout the year. So he said for player tampering, everything. And that's one of the things he said. He's like, yo, like, I want to be able to, for example, he couldn't go to Dwayne Wade's last game.
Wow.
Because he's not, you know, part of that franchise. And he was mad. He's like, no, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of my sons. And this is his last game, and I can't go because I'm an employee of the Lakers. So it's like stuff like that also restricted the way he was used to moving.
I can understand that.
Yeah, so that was another reason why he quit. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm even though he didn't have a great, great season, I'm proud of him. I wanted to do, I guess this last story, I don't know if you read it, but I guess you might get a kick out of it, even though you probably won't admit it, about the AKAs getting caught in a prostitution ring.
Isn't that old?
No, it was a week ago.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this before, but I'm listening.
The AKAs at Fort Valley State. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, hold on. What happened to the story? The story just blanked on me. The AKAs at Fort Valley State got caught in a prostitution ring. They were selling that booty.
A mess.
Let's see. Alicia Janetta Johnson served as the ringleader. She's 48, so she's older. She's like a grown-up. And she was an executive assistant to the president of Fort Valley State University and a graduate advisor to the AKA sorority. She performed sex acts in exchange for money and help provide prostitutes for prominent men in the college community located south of Atlanta. She's been charged with 6 counts of prostitution, 3 counts of pimping, 2 counts of solicitation of sodomy, and they also got 6 guys on one count each for solicitation of sodomy.
But wait, now, so I have a question.
And these are the whole question is, because these are all, mostly these are grown ass men. Right. They got the names here. Ernest Harvey, 47. Kenneth Howard, 56. Ryan Jenkins, 35. Charles Jones, 57. So these are grown men. So go ahead. We're going to say.
No, my question is, so all, are we sure that all the girls were AKAs?
No.
They're saying it was that just because the ringleader was an AKA.
They're saying the ringleader is AKA. Who's in a, I don't know if you can see on the thing. Can you see that line? Can you see that at all?
Wait, hold it up.
Her picture? She got, her
pink. I see her. She's in the pink. she got arrested in pink.
In the pink.
That's hilarious.
And I think there's a pin there.
Jesus. They're not
saying if the girls was AKAs or not. I'm assuming that they are, hopefully wrongly so.
I want to be careful to say it's the AK. I don't want to say it's the K's.
You say it's a 1K.
I'm saying it's 1K.
1K desire.
I'm not going to say that she was, you know, pimping out her Neos and nothing like that. We don't know.
But I will say this, though. Following the indictment, AKA leaders withdrew the chapter's privileges.
Oh.
Which kind of leans to me that there might have been more than
her. That also could have been because she was an advisor. So, true.
You understand this word obviously way better than
I do. I mean, I just want to be careful.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I just want to be careful
to not just
smear a whole chapter.
A whole chapter, sorority chapter. You're correct.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. So
I want to give a shout out to this is late, but I want to give a shout out to Lil Nas X because
he's the number one record in the country with a bullet.
Well, he has number one record in the country, yes. But also, I think we talked about this briefly last week, but
we did.
But he's also tweeted a couple things in the last couple of weeks. Like last week, he tweeted like, "Hell yeah, I'm an industry plant." And then,
oh shit, I didn't see that.
And then the other day, he tweeted, "I know y'all think I'm just a little meme nigga who got lucky, but I'm a little meme nigga who promoted the hell out of a song and got lucky." But my thing is, like, I appreciate, even though his representatives are trying to squash the TweetDeck story, I appreciate that he is kind of in on the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so without being like some of these other little rappers who be like, "I never even really wanted to be a rapper."
Yeah,
I've been rapping for 2 seconds, or it's whatever. Who kind of are dismissive?
He's like, nah, I love it. I'm loving this.
Yeah, he loves it, and he's also acknowledging like he caught a like he's a digital marketing genius already, right? But that's just because that's the way some of these kids operate. That's what he built his following off of was viral tweets, and but I appreciate that. And the thing is, I'm not going to say I'm a fan, but I can respect his hustle because think about Childish. Childish started rapping as a joke.
Yeah, his name was
like, his name came from a Wu-Tang
name
generator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he just became the first hip hop artist to win Song of the Year and Record of the Year. Now I'm not saying I agree that he should have been the first hip hop artist to win Song of the Year, Record of the Year, but I'm just saying It doesn't necessarily mean that you're what's my man's name who did All Gold Everything?
Trinidad James.
Yeah, you're not necessarily Trinidad James. Like everybody ain't like everything ain't a, every gimmick ain't a gimmick, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And this kid is causing a major ripple in music genres right now.
He is.
Like a major, like everybody is talking about this on all levels of music.
Yep.
And that doesn't happen often. Like serious critics, country folks, hip hop folks, serious music, you know, publications, like everybody's talking about this because it's so rare.
It's unbelievable.
And it is such an indicator of where music is in 2019, like the changes in the old guard. Like, first of all, just the way he blew. And second of all, like, I was reading an article in New York Mag, and the whole reason he ended up on the country chart in the first place was because he himself placed the song on the country charts on SoundCloud and iTunes so that he wouldn't have to battle
against
all the hip hop stuff, which is smart.
He actually,
which is really smart.
Like his whole path is honestly like, even though right now I don't like the way, I mean, this guy's moving. But he really is Soulja Boy 2.0.
Yes.
Like everything he's doing is exactly what Soulja Boy did 10 years
ago. But just on a new level. Yeah.
On a new level. That's exactly what he's doing. Like he's taking direct playbook from Soulja Boy, like directly, including that, like placing his stuff on a different space to kind of cut through the clutter, the way Soulja Boy would take people's songs and put different titles on his songs so people would click them on LimeWire. Like he's incredible. This guy's amazing. I agree with you. I think this is a phenomenon. I think we're going to see this guy next year on the Grammys and obviously on the Billboard Awards on stuff performing this record with Billy Ray. I don't think this record's going away. And I think this kid is smart enough to where this ain't going to be his only song.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's gonna he's really taking this thing and running with it. He learned from, he's literally the child of the internet, and he's running with it. And I'm appreciating just watching how it's developing and growing. And I can tell most of it is him driving the ship and Columbia just kind of like, subsidizing what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's like, okay, guys, whatever you want to do. You know
what I'm saying? He's like, because he already did everything. Exactly. Like, it was done. By the time they came on board, it was done.
Yeah, they just dumping money into it now to make it bigger and get him on TV and stuff like that. But like the groundwork and organic roots part of it was finished, like you said, and it was all done by him.
Yeah.
I would give this guy a little joint venture. Like, you got opportunity to bring me something else when you want to, because I think this kid could be here for a minute, you know?
Right.
I appreciate it. So I think that's it. We're going to wrap it up on that note. Nice and easy.
Good.
We'll see you next week. I hope y'all paid your taxes yesterday, or if you didn't, got an extension. And happy Easter to everybody.
Yes, happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday for those who observe.
He has risen. Yeah.
If Jesus could get up, your ass can get up.
Exactly.
go give some praise.
Exactly.
But no, for real, I will say this. Holy Week, like I'm always an old church lady, but Holy Week is the one time of year that I am like a for real church lady. Even for those who started hating church a long time ago, left the church, get annoyed by, your Bible thumping family members or whatever. There are so many real world lessons in the story of Easter week. And I think that we hear it so much from the time that we're kids that we kind of miss it. Like, because you kind of
mute it on your own.
Yeah, like you got to do Easter speeches and you got to do this and it just becomes rote. But the reality is, like, it really is about, like, your haters trying to set you up and not being able to stop you. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is about, like, no matter what your destiny is, no matter what you're meant to be, no matter how great you're supposed to be, literally nobody can stop you. Or when you think things are over, when things look dire, when things look destitute, when it looks like you failed, is actually a setup for a come up. So, yes, I mean, if you really want to do some real life application, this is a very exciting week to think about, like, what you want to accomplish or how far you've come or things you've, obstacles you've hurdled over. Like, it's really like a week to get energized and really kind of feel yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, feel yourself and your capabilities and awesome. Like, y'all can't hold me back. Like that's what this week is about. So I would encourage you, even if you don't want to get churchy about it, to just celebrate those kind of things this week and think about that this week, because it really is an awesome story, even though Jesus actually was probably, born around April and was not crucified around this time of year. We don't know what the timing really is, but still it's just an incredible story.
I agree. Yeah. It's darkest before the dawn.
Just
when it seems bleakest, that's when if you stick it through, usually you come out on the other side,
right?
That's that's it kind of in a nutshell. It's obviously a deeper story than that, but that's kind of the gist of it. Like, right before you think, right when you think it's over, it can't get no worse. It actually gets better,
Okay.
Yeah. So, sure. So peace to everybody. And we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.